Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. Good afternoon. It is Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Frida Liu
and Christine Wong.
Whole bunch of stories lined up for you today. We've got four interesting ones before we move on to some events that you might want to check out this week. We're going to be starting off in a couple of minutes with how your inspirational social media posts are actually hurting your career. Then we're going to be moving on to how a Japanese company are giving some people extra vacation days. We'll be looking at a brain chemical that is behind unwanted thoughts and how Facebook quietly admits to having a lot more fake accounts than we thought originally. So, I am guilty of this, right? Posting those little inspirational quotes on your Instagram timeline or one thing or another.
I love doing them.
Me too.
Yeah.
Right? But
mostly sake ones, though.
Right. So here's the thing. If you're a leader or you're trying to become one, some degree of ongoing personal branding is inevitable, right? And this often creates pressure to post something new to your social media channels on a regular basis. We've been told about this, that it's an important thing to do. And the easiest thing that you might want to do is to share some of those slogans, you know, on hashtag Motivational Monday, tweet or, you know, an Instagram post with a wonderful Gandhi quotation. But it might backfire because the lack of clarity kind of fails to motivate. So it's hard to be profound on a daily or a weekly basis, and it's even harder to be profound in just a few quick words. So there's this one Instagram account, and it is called Brain Mentor. And one of their posts was, quotes won't work if you don't apply them. That's their motivational quote. And underneath it is it says, work hard, don't wait for things to happen by themselves. So that's a kind of double negative statement, right? What does it mean for quotes to work, and how exactly should you apply them? The same account has posted, always learn from your mistakes. And underneath they've posted, take a note every time you make a mistake and study ways to avoid repeating it. Now, that's not something you could argue with. You've always got to learn from your mistakes. We know that. But even the slightly lengthier caption underneath, study ways to avoid repeating mistakes, doesn't tell you how to go about doing it. You know, so you can kind of just throw this quote out there and just expect people to fully understand it, and they don't. Superficial comments obscure your best ideas. So in order to attract career opportunities or win support for your ideas, you need to offer an original insight or propose a compelling solution to a problem. So these shallow superficial remarks don't do any good. This tweet, for example, when something is gone, something better is coming. Can we just sit on that for a minute?
Now, in some cases, yeah, but right? This is the thing with all of these quotes, is that it can always be interpreted in more than one way as well. Right.
Agreed.
So, like you said, you know, you're just posting the vague quote without any context, or even, you know, even like, let's say, sharing an anecdote about how, you know, you've used that kind of mentality to solve an issue or to motivate yourself or something. That's how that works as something that is helpful and motivational.
Yeah.
If you just post the quote without any kind of anything else.
Yeah, and I think it was like they were probably trying to use that one, you know, when one door closes, another one opens,
right?
That kind of thing.
Yeah. But I mean, is it even true though? I mean, it's great for anybody who's lost a friend, a family member, or even a pet. But does that mean you'll get a better dog next time?
Right.
I mean, what does it actually mean? And the same goes for a post like, magic happens when you don't give up. Even when you want to, the universe always loves a stubborn heart. I mean, magic, the universe, what is that?
And also, being stubborn isn't necessarily the best thing to be, you know, in some situations as well. So, like, all in all, again, that's a quote that relies a lot on the context.
I am horribly stubborn. That is one trait that I know I have, and it's one thing that I have tried to change, but I'm stubborn.
I think they were trying to be... I think the word was being persistent.
Right.
Right. And stubborn is not exactly...
Stubborn is somebody who doesn't move from their position, right? Mm. Being persistent is something where you have a goal and you want to reach it. I have often had this problem where I know there's an issue, and you know this, Frida, and I haven't done anything about it because I feel as though I'm right. And oftentimes... it takes a lot of other people to convince me that I'm not.
Right.
You know, and me posting one of these quotes, I think it'd be better if somebody else posted a quote and tagged me in it.
Richard,
hey,
this is for you.
This is exactly for you.
I mean,
read it.
This is the thing as well with these quotes, is that if they're designed to be motivational or to teach something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the situations that you will find yourself in life aren't that simple. You can't just fix them with one quote or one idea.
Right.
They're always going to be a little bit more complicated and complex. Like, for example, there will be some situations where you should be stubborn. You should stick your ground. You should, you know, fight against what is happening. And there are some situations where you have to come to, like, a compromise.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one big issue with, you know, if you are someone who is trying to be, like, a role model or trying to, you know, influence other people and you post quotes, you know, that don't really have a lot of context or are vague, it's very difficult to understand, you know, when those ideas are appropriate.
Right.
And I guess as a leader, do you need to? I mean,
This is what I was thinking. When I was reading this article, I mean, I'm looking through, I look through my LinkedIn profile for, you know, people that I'm following, for example. Mm. Richard Branson being one of them, of course. Elon Musk, another one. All of these great thinkers, great movers. None of them post inspirational quotes, do they? They post what they have done or what they are trying to do. It's not a little... Yeah, I've done it. This is how I did it. And I think that says a lot more to me than reading somebody like Richard Bradbury says this morning, you know, when one door opens, the universe is listening and another one will be there. Or something ridiculously random like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let us know what you think. Is it just a bit of fun? Do you post them because you need something to post?
Right.
Let us know what you think. Get us on Twitter, at BFM Radio, of course, or on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. In something typically motivational, though, with the Japanese. They're doing something quite interesting right now.
Yes, I know. And if you've been to Japan, I don't know if you've been to Japan, but there are
yeah, I've been.
Large number of smokers, 22% of Japanese citizens smoke, right? So what they're trying to do is this company, marketing firm called Piala, for those that are not smoking, they're giving them, the reward is extra time off, right? So, and this is, I would love extra time off, right? And they've allotted 6 additional vacation days, and they figure that it makes up for 15-minute breaks smokers take to feed the habit during the rest of the year. Apart from that, 35% of the employees are smokers. Before I go into that, I'm just thinking, what about the non-smokers? Aren't they like, hey, what about me? I've always been good. Mm. No, are you giving me additional leave? But I digress. So last year, 54% of U.S. workers didn't take all their vacation days. This is Americans. But Japan has an even tougher time with work-life balance. 2016 data found that 20% of 10,000 Japanese workers surveyed that they work more than 80 hours of overtime every month.
That's insane.
Wait, right. So who is getting these extra 6 days of paid holidays a year?
The non-smokers.
The non-smokers.
People who are, you know, or people who decide to quit smoking,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah. I see. Okay.
I'm fully behind that, because smokers do take a lot of time in and out of the office, especially, I'd imagine, if you are working in Tokyo where you're in a high-rise building and you've got to go downstairs for a cigarette. Yeah. You know, so by the time you've left your desk, you've gone down 40 flights of stairs or whatever it is, you've had your cigarette, and then you've come back up again, that's easily 20 minutes, right. You know, and that will add up.
And it's great, right? Because rather than, you know, it's the carrot or stick approach, right? Rather than using penalties or coercion, this is the carrot approach rather than the stick approach. So,
but yeah. I'm thinking there'll be a whole bunch of smokers who think, 6 days, you know, is it worth me stopping smoking for just 6 extra days per year?
If they're already not taking time off anyway,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christine, thoughts?
I mean, I'm in a place where I don't smoke. So if I just got 6 extra days of paid leave for not smoking, I would be like, great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but this is one of those things where, again, like Frida said, I think that the fact that they're offering this reward and this incentive, regardless of whether or not you take those days, at least you have the option. At least you have, you know, this idea of... You know, because you can use that time to do something that is healthier or something that will be more, I guess, more productive or more, I don't know, something that's a bit more beneficial to your life, I guess.
The 6 days to smoke. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, in that sense, I kind of get where they're coming from. And I think, you know, it is a really good, you know, incentive. I'm actually all for this, and I would like to see, you know, more people implement this because, I mean, to be honest, already a lot less people smoke now than they let's say, like 20 years ago. But this is just another step in the right direction, I think.
But it's still, I guess, a big issue in Japan.
Yeah.
A large number of people actually still smoke. But we'll see. I'm just wondering if this will be successful and if other companies will also follow suit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are a few companies in the UK that have something similar. But instead of offering you time off work, what they do is they offer you a different kind of incentive. You know, we will help you stop smoking by giving you the necessary medication that you need.
Mm.
We will help you sign up for the therapy that you might need if you want to speak to somebody about it. And I think that, for me, I think that's a much more holistic approach to it.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that has, for me, would be much more successful rather than saying, oh, you know, if you decide to smoke, here's an extra 6 days off. You know, instead of, we're going to help you do this. I think that would be a bit more motivational for me.
Yeah, you're saying that's out in UK. I'm just wondering how successful that sort of program is with
pretty yeah, successful. Yeah. I mean, even doctors in the UK now are in that a position where they can offer you these anti, you know, help smoking, help to stop smoking cessation medication as well. So you know, just right up, they can offer you vapes, they can offer you the patches, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great move forward.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, we have to take a break. We've got some music coming up from Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros, a track called Coma Girl. When we come back, Christine will be talking to us all about mental illnesses, PTSD, schizophrenia, depression, and anxiety on this
right up my alley.
On this Motivational Monday here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.5.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. Me, Rich Bradbury.
Frida Liu.
And Christine Wong.
So far, we've had stories about your inspirational social media posts might not be doing you as well as you think. And then we had a story about how a Japanese company is giving extra vacation days to employees who don't smoke. We had a tweet about that, actually, regarding, this is a tweet from Dilip Mutam, who says, regarding the cigarette story, not really a stop smoking campaign, but because of complaints from non-smokers. Makes sense. Right, moving on to our next story. Christine, you dug this up from where?
So I dug this up from znews.india.com, but I just found it really interesting because the headline just said, this brain chemical is behind all unwanted thoughts. So what it is scientists have...
A bit of a sweeping statement there.
Yes, but scientists have identified a key chemical in the brain that allows us to suppress unpleasant memories, which is a finding that may pave the way for treating patients of post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, or schizophrenia who experience persistent intrusive thoughts. So this guy, Michael Anderson from the University of Cambridge in the UK, says that our ability to control our thoughts is fundamental to our well-being, and when this capacity breaks down, it causes some of the most debilitating symptoms of psychiatric diseases. Intrusive memories, images, hallucinations, ruminations, and pathological and persistent worries, which are all key symptoms of mental illnesses such as PTSD, schizophrenia, depression, and anxiety.
Okay.
So, basically what they did, scientists used this kind of experiment called the think-no-think procedure to identify a significant new brain process that enables the prefrontal cortex in our brains to successfully inhibit our thoughts. In the task, participants learned to associate a series of words with a paired but otherwise unconnected word, for example, ordeal and roach, and moss and north.
Ordeal and roach is connected.
Yeah, they're connected, but like they're not connected in any other way but that, I think, is the idea.
Right.
In the next stage, they're asked to recall the associated word if the cue is green or to suppress it if the cue is red. So if they're shown the word ordeal in red, they're asked to stare at that word but not think of the word roach as like the associated word, and then kind of vice versa. The researchers were then able to observe the brain activity while they were doing this exercise. And it turns out that they actually discovered a neurotransmitter known as GABA. So through this experiment, they discovered GABA, which it turns out is the main inhibitory neurotransmitter in the brain. And GABA concentrations within the hippocampus, which is the area of the brain that's involved in memory, predict people's ability to block the retrieval process and prevent thoughts and memories from returning. So the idea behind this is that now that they know that this neurotransmitter exists, they can hopefully help people with intrusive like thoughts, because the idea is that there is probably a lack of those neurotransmitters in people who have this kind of problem with not being able to suppress these kinds of images or thoughts or memories, like, for example, people with PTSD. Right? So I just found this really fascinating, because a lot of people talk about mental illness as if it is not something that has any basis in reality. You know, they always like, you know, it's like, oh, it's all in your head or something. And this kind of study is showing that it is legitimately, you know, like a lack of or a reduction in like some sort of chemical in your brain or some sort of neurotransmitter that physically, you know, stops you from being able to do stuff. So I just found this really fascinating and really motivational, because now that they found this, like, the idea is that it can help so many people. You know, let's say you take like night terrors, for example. You can imagine people, you know, they don't get enough sleep, they can't go to work well rested, maybe they have dependents that they need to take care of, but they can't get, you know, they get like insomnia. to imagine taking this research and this technology and the discovery of this neurotransmitter and to then hopefully find a way where they can suppress those night terrors would be amazing.
I mean, I can speak from a relatively personal experience. My father suffered from PTSD for a long time, and he was one of those old school thinkers, like you say, Chris, you know, somebody who didn't believe that it was a physical thing. It was something that he just had to get over, and he'd be fine. And the rounds of treatment that he went through for so many years, there were all different kinds of treatment, and the only thing that actually worked in the end was him sitting and talking to somebody about his issues, and that seemed to be the one thing that helped pull him through it. For something like this, I know what my dad would have said if he'd have heard about, you know, shining red and green lights on him. He would have just gone, that's absolute rubbish, that. And he wouldn't have done anything about it, you know. And I think the idea of trying to convince people who are suffering that there is potentially a solution by following something that seems fairly simple is the way forward, you know.
I'm wondering, this is a chemical. So what do you do now? Do you give this chemical now to discover that some people...
I think you have to reinitiate the function in the brain that releases this chemical. And I think that's what this...
Rather than being it a chemical that you consume, like lithium.
As we know, lithium is a horrendous drug, you know. It's horrible thing. Nobody wants to be on that.
Idea. If someone could find a kind of version, you know, a kind of equivalent almost of like an antidepressant, but instead of, backing up those hormones to somehow, improve the like firing of these neurotransmitters, hopefully that will really help.
I did read about something about a very similar kind of treatment with light therapy as well, using flashing lights of a particular frequency. Exposing these people to sitting in a room and having lights flash over a certain period of time at a certain frequency really reactivated parts of their brain that people had thought had died off. People like Alzheimer's sufferers and that kind of stuff, where they can't form new memories. This thing seemed to like reconnect those neurons together in lab tests.
So we've come a long way from electric shock treatments.
Tell me about it. Well, that's a fascinating story. When we come back then, I have a story about Facebook, something a little bit different, how they've quietly admitted to having as many as, listen for this, 270 million fake or cloned accounts. More on that when we come back. Some music coming up from The Pretenders. It is Don't Get Me Wrong on BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Real You.
And Christine Wong.
We gave you a little bit of a heads up earlier on about this story from Facebook. So amid the distraction of Facebook's blockbuster earnings this week, the company quietly admitted to hosting more fake accounts than previously revealed. The social network upped its estimate of the portion of fake accounts from 2 to 3% and the number of duplicates from 6 to 10%. This is all according to the Business Insider. That means that as many as 270 million of the platform's 2.1 billion strong user base could be fraudulent or duplicated, which is a population verging on the size of the United States. And they've said that this change was due to better tools for tracking illegitimate activity rather than a sudden spike in fishy signups. Unlike Twitter's kind of anything goes attitude, Facebook are famously strict about verifying the real-life identity nowadays of each of its users. In some cases, it even goes as far as to demand official documentation. I've seen this.
Really?
A friend of mine has a very odd name, and they wouldn't believe that it was his name, and he had to send in a whole bunch of...
So what is
I'm not telling you, because then people will be going all over Facebook and trying to find his name. I'll tell you later. But yeah, I mean, this is obviously on the back of this whole Russian investigation as well as to whether or not and how deeply these social networks are ingrained in this whole, well, getting Donald Trump to be president kind of campaign, isn't it? You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Christine, you were saying that, you know, you actually at one point had duplicate accounts.
Basically, when I was a kid, this is like way back in like 2007 when Facebook was like just becoming a thing. A lot of my friends and I would have like one proper Facebook and then one Facebook where we just like did dumb stuff, basically. Like we would post like pictures of cartoons and then tag each other and stuff. And like it meant nothing, but it was a thing because, you know, we were always taught like, oh, you have to have like a proper thing, but we wanted to use Facebook just to have fun.
Right.
And so we kind of had one that was like professional and then one that was not you know, anything.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I still have that account, and I'm very tempted to go back and see if it still exists or if it's been deleted or something. But it was a thing. It was a genuine, like, you know, it says here in the article, duplicate accounts also often represent real activity from the same person using multiple profiles. And that was
the
case.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
the case at the time, because you kind of want to have,
you want a professional one and a non-professional
exactly,
one.
Exactly. You know? And even up until now, I still have people on Facebook that I've added both of their accounts at, you know? And it's one of those things where I don't know, you know, if Facebook is taking that into account. I don't know if they're thinking about the fact that there are some people who, for example, right, you might have someone who lives one lifestyle like at work and lives another lifestyle in their private life, and they want to keep that very separate.
Right.
And I don't blame them for that. And, you know, Facebook is one of those things where, you know, they can exist in both those spheres in the same platform. So I don't really, like, I'm not surprised by this number at all, you know.
Right.
And I don't, there is definitely, you know, the influence of bots and things like that, I'm sure. But, like, from my experience, I'm not at all surprised.
Frida, you multiple accounts on your behalf.
I've got two accounts, basically. One for work and one for
play.
For personal, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I get a lot of these requests for interviews and everything. I said, please send an email to enterprise@bfm.my because it's not a sole decision that I make.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, there are two profiles, one that I keep strictly professional and interviews I've done, and some, you know, just a little bit more of my personal life. So, I think that, you know, I think they take that into account, so they know that there's activity, there's the
right.
same person.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Once they start seeing, you know, accounts that don't have much activity or activity that's kind of, it was there for a while and sporadic, and then just dies off, that's when they should be looking at it, right?
Mm.
But, I mean, that's just a huge amount. 270 million, though. I mean, wow, right?
Anyway. That's 10%, right? But this is very interesting as well from the article. They have previously said that actors behind pages that spread fake news or information have used fake accounts to juice the interaction numbers.
Mm.
So these are actors.
I mean, I was talking to Matt Armitage on Friday, actually, about there was an account, I think it was a Twitter account, that set up a rally and a anti-rally on the same day in the same place. And these were created from one account, you know, and Facebook didn't even pick up on that. The same, it's just ridiculous. But there you go. I suppose when you've got that many users, you can't keep track of everything, can you?
Mm. Yeah.
Right. We're going to take a break for some music. When we come back, we're going to be giving you some events to check out over the forthcoming week. Don't go anywhere. A little bit of Pearl Jam coming up right now with Hail Hail. We'll be back in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, folks. It's almost time for us to wrap up for this afternoon's session, but we will give you some events that you might want to check out this week, starting off with Project Codeless.
Okay, Project
Oh, no,
no,
not starting
no,
off.
No,
that's,
no.
Not, that's the last
we're
one.
We're doing the Asia's first intergenerational
That was it, intergenerational boot camp.
So this is held over 2 days, November 7th to the 8th. So that's Tuesday and Wednesday at the Violet Flame off Jalan Maruf. And so this is an intense two-day program that will bridge the millennial, gender, and generational gaps from a personal and professional context, all within an experiential learning environment. And I think that's great, right? So you're going to have probably through games, through experiential exercises, and you've got your Gen X, your Gen Y, and your boomers. We don't have much of the boomers here, but we do have a lot of the Gen X and Gen Y and how you can actually do this. So you can develop personal value creation, overriding gender, intergenerational and digital biases. Right? So who would have thought that even digital biases and development optimize upper-level interaction skills, taking the initiative to lead without hesitation. So this is going to set you back for the 1,431, and you can get your tickets at PTIX if you're keen. I expect it to be a small kind of group.
I expect, there'll not be many people. It'll be small, intense groups, I'd imagine, as well. All right.
Mm. Yeah, well, I've got an event called 3 Minutes Close, the Ultimate Speed Sales Formula for Your Business. It's happening on November the 8th, Wednesday, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. At the CO3 Social Office in Puchong. And in this workshop, basically, you'll discover everything to do with sales. So two critical parts of closing a deal, how to move sales forward when facing objections, and how to overcome the fear of rejection once and for all. But the best part of this event is that the people who are running this event dress up in superhero costumes because it's The Flash, because it's speed sales, which
they've convinced me, you know,
Fantastic. Yes. You know, this is a super event. So tickets are free but limited, and you can register at PTIX.
Well, you gotta have fun while learning.
You got
right.
to. You got to.
Okay, so there's another event on Thursday, November 9th, and it's also a full day, 8 to 5, and this is at the Saujana Hotel in Shah Alam. So what's next, 2017? The Business Impact of Disruptive Technology. So what's next? The Business Impact of Disruptive Technology Conference is focused on how brick and mortar players adapting to digital disruption and turning that disruption to opportunities. So they're going to bring together brick and mortar company leaders to talk about how they're managing this disruption hitting them. So event highlight how Maybank Group, a 100 billion market cap company, what they're doing to ensure they emerge winners. So you can get tickets. It's a 901 ringgit if you're an early bird. I don't think there'll be an early bird at this point. And it'd be 1,100 for a regular rate as well. So, yeah.
All right. With the investment.
PTIX.
The one I've got to recommend is Project Codeless, how you can build a mobile app without actually coding. That happens on Saturday, November the 11th, from 2 until 4:30 p.m. It's happening at Publica. Now you can start designing and developing apps in a short period of time for smartphones and tablets with no technical knowledge. Ideal for people like me. We'll show you how you can build your mobile app without the hassles and frills of programming so that you can focus on the most important aspects of the app business, monetization and marketing of your app. It goes on for about 2.5 hours. And if you seriously want more income, more freedom, more life choices, all of that kind of stuff that really makes you want to do something by sitting on your bum and making apps. Don't we all want to do that, really? The takeaways, though, is a hands-on building your own mobile app. You'll learn tips and tricks of how to get your stuff into the app store, how to achieve organic app downloads, and how you could potentially monetize your business for your app. Tickets are free, but you must register on PTIX because the seats for this are limited. So that's Project Codeless. That's it then. Let's quickly run through the stories we covered for today. I started off with how your inspirational social media posts could well be hurting your career. No more quotes from Gandhi, please.
Right. And in Japan, a company there is encouraging employees not to smoke by giving them additional work days off.
And then I talked about how scientists have discovered a brain chemical that is behind all unwanted thoughts.
A little bit about how Facebook quietly admitted to as many as 270 million fake or cloned accounts. And of course, we wrapped up with some events. Now, don't go anywhere, though, because after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. If you're a football fan, you might want to listen to this one. It is Peter Draper, the former director of marketing at Manchester United Football Club. He was the first marketing director of Manchester United, credited with the football club's metamorphosis into a global brand during his time there from 1999 to 2006. Shared his insights on the business of sports gleaned from his decades-long career in sports marketing, including stints at Umbro International and most recently at Valencia. If you are interested, listen to that at just after the 1 o'clock news. On behalf of Frida Liu, Christian Wong and myself, this has been Enterprise BizBytes. We'll be back tomorrow, same time at noon, here on BFM 89.9.